Hello, you are listening to Voices for Change. I'm Fantai Bridges.
I'm Deanna Buba.
I'm Jenny Jacquois.
And I'm Jada West.
So, World Water Day has celebrated 28 years since 1993. It draws the world's attention to the importance of fresh water and the sustainable management of fresh water resources. This year, World Water Day is about what water means to people, its true value, and how we can better protect this vital resource. So in today's podcast, we are going to have a conversation with Umonde Trust interns. We will discuss how our perspective on water has changed since interning with Umonde, how impactful water sustainability is, and what water means to us. So let's begin.
Keeping that in mind, all of us interns come from a privileged place with water, and we acknowledge that our experience with water is very unique. Water to me means many different things. So it first reminds me of growing up near the ocean and the privilege that comes with growing up near the ocean, as well as the responsibility to care for and protect those resources. It's important to acknowledge that not everyone is given the same access to water. Working with Umonde Trust has further ignited my passion for guaranteeing clean and safe access to water for everyone. Water is the backbone of everything, and it's critical that globally we take action. Not only is water a basic need for survival, but there's also a clear linkage between access to clean water and the prevention of the spread of disease. There's also a huge amount of gender inequality that exists within the water space that needs to be resolved. We can't get to gender equality until better, safer access to water is achieved. That's something that has become increasingly clear since I started working with Umonde and their Stop Sex for Water project.
Yeah, similar to Deanna, I've had a very interesting relationship with water growing up near nature and spending a lot of time at the beach. And due to that relationship, As I grew up into adulthood, I became more interested in the symbiotic relationship between people and water and how it benefits us in so many ways, helps us live, but also can calm us down and bring us at peace. And I think that's something that's really important when it comes to water. And then while interning at Umonde, I realized how in some cases, like, the access to water doesn't bring peace to people and it creates a lot of issues, and how young women and girls don't have the easy access to water sources, and how that has created problems in their life. And I think that it is important to kind of realize what water means to all of us and how water means something different to each individual, and it could mean their life source. And it all can mean just bringing them peace. So I think it's really interesting thinking about water as a whole.
Yeah, I agree. I also think it's interesting with water about how I feel like growing up, I was taught a lot about like conserving water and like taking shorter showers and like those kind of minuscule things that we're taught to do that I think are becoming more and more increasingly popular than they were like years ago. Like, I know that even when talking with my parents, they were like, yeah, like, we were never told to, like, take a shorter shower, or they were told to do it for money reasons, not necessarily for the conservation aspect of not wasting water, like, letting the faucet run, or even, like, little things that everyone can do that does help contribute to saving access to fresh water, because so little of the Earth's water is fresh water, and then so little of it is also accessible, because isn't most of it, like, stored in the ice? So there's a lot to talk about there, too.
Yeah, and that ice is melting and just going back into the salt water, the ocean.
Yeah, I think that brings up an interesting conversation about how water changes with climate, and how with the uprising of the climate crisis, how the access to water is even being depleted even more, because as Deanna said, only 3% of the Earth's water is fresh water. So with the melting of the ice caps, and there's a lot that's going to change in the future with everyone's personal access to water, even in countries where it is so easy to access it.
Plus, so much of water is used for agriculture, and there's also a key link between safe access to water, but also safe access to water for agriculture, which then reduces like hunger, and that whole like aspect of things is intertwined. And that's, I think, also important to keep in mind when talking about what water means to you, because a lot of people rely on water for agriculture, which is true, because you can't grow vegetables or fruits or any kinds of things in salt water. It simply doesn't work. And so it's also just important to keep in mind that while people need safe access to water to drink and for hydration and sanitation and hygiene, we also need it for agriculture to end the gaps in hunger.
Yeah, and not to mention, just in addition to agriculture, I mean, the meat industry uses so much water. I can't remember the statistic right off of the bat, but I know that the amount of water that goes into raising a cow or producing 1 pound of meat is exponentially larger than to grow corn. So that's another thing to keep in mind. U.S. produces a lot of meat. We're known for factory farming, and I know that that happens also all over the world. And I guess that kind of the distribution of where water goes, I guess it's unequal to things like meat production.
And I think it is important to include that all of us interns do live in the United States, and our perspective on water is simply from this area and what we've had access to growing up.
So I grew up in Maine, and there's this huge lake called Sebago Lake, and that's where a lot of the tap water is connected from. And it's also the source of Poland Spring Water, which is a bottled water company. And so I guess I never really realized how lucky and privileged I was to literally be drinking bottled water from tap. I guess it's just something to think about, you know, it's a very much not the case for other places.
No, yeah. I guess I can go off of that. My family actually grew up on the flip side of your experience, Fanti, where they grew up in Haiti. And so my mom would share stories of how she would wake up super early in the morning and just walk miles to fetch water to at her nearest lake, nearest river, so that she can collect gallons of water to prepare for her day. So whether that's making breakfast or bathing herself prior to class. So it's a huge contradiction. And so when I think about water, I obviously come from a place of privilege with access to water and the unlimitedness of it. And so it's quite interesting to see how my parents would have a daunting experience with water, and mine isn't that case, because I obviously have the guarantee of water every single day, and I could just walk a couple steps and turn on the faucet and I'll be good. So
I also think, circling back to Fanti's earlier point about her water being bottled, I think that also plays into the role of larger companies and their responsibility in water conservation, also to provide water. Many large industrial companies use a lot of water for manufacturing and for all kinds of things, but it's important that they also consider how much water they're using, I think, and do what they can to conserve water, because I think that plays into a large part of how much water's left and how we can be sustainable. Because if all these companies are using water in a way, and then it's just flushed back into the ocean, it's not as easy to then use it for drinking water and hygiene and sanitation and everything like that. And so there is also, I think, a role for them to play in that conversation.
Yeah, and I think overall it is important to just use today, World Water Day, as a way to reflect and kind of think about our own relationship with water, and also how people around the world have different relationships, or even our parents' relationship with water, and how that changes over time. And I just think that what our main takeaway of this is just just reflect on it and just value what water has for you and your relationship, and also think about how you can make other people's relationship with water better by your own conservation methods or things like that.
Yeah. Do any of you have other ideas on how working with Umande has changed your perspective on water, or that whole aspect of what we were talking about today too?
Yeah. I would say the biggest takeaway from interning with Umande, especially for like such a long time, was, I guess, yeah, the sex for water thing. I understood that, like, people, like, didn't have access to water. I feel like, we're taught that. I didn't know what people would do to try to get water, like, what would happen, or, like, what were, like, I guess, just, like, the violence and, like, all of that. Like, it's really complicated, too, like, and how that impacts getting water. And, like, I mean, yeah, it is something, it's a huge power dynamic that, like, is something I never really considered. So working with Umande really opened my eyes to that.
Yeah, for me, working with Umande has given me, like, a deeper personal anecdote to water, especially with, like, learning about the champions and kind of like the violence that they've experienced, going off of what you said, Fantai. I did have an idea of like the journey to get water from like my own background, but like getting a deeper personal anecdote and like understanding that there are severe consequences and like symptoms of lack of water towards women and girls especially, was something that I don't think I would have received in the classroom. And if I did, it would be very, like, distant. So, yeah.
Also, I remember having a conversation with some, like, when I was there for the one day. We were talking to this guy, and we were talking about, like, this debate that goes on about, like, between, like, people saying, like, oh, if it's their choice to have sex for water, is it, like, really, like, is it really like gender-based violence? Is it really like abuse or that type of thing? But it's also, and what was brought up was the fact that I guess it's just the situation that kind of in the circumstances which make them have to do it. And I think that like that is also something to consider as well. Like it's just, I guess it's just a really complicated situation, and having, like, those discussions are really important because there are people who are, like, don't really understand and they, like, have these views, which, I mean, if that's their views, I mean, maybe they just, like, I guess, yeah, exactly. Conversations just help you understand everything, like, where people are coming from, and that's something I took away from working with Umande.
Yeah, and just going off that, I think that relates to water seems like such a simple thing. Like water is everywhere, like it rains, there's oceans, there's lakes, like water should be, and I feel like that's what that person's opinion stems from, is that if water is something so simple, why do people need to go to such drastic measures to get it? But then on the other hand, you can think about how water is so essential, and that's what requires people to go to those measures, because like you need to bathe, you need to use the bathroom, you need to practice like hygienic practices, and you need to drink water. And if you don't have easy access to that, like, what are you going to do, or what situations are you going to be put in to access the water? And I think that it is really important. And I think that's what I've personally learned from our Stop Sex for Water campaign, is that people take water for granted so much, but it is such a necessary part of life. And that's what requires people to go to such extreme measures to even get those simple necessities. Or simple in quotations, because it's not that simple.
Definitely. And I also think it's important to acknowledge that I feel like there has been a lot of progress towards creating safe access to water. And there's a lot of people working really, really hard to ensure that access. But there's also still a long way left to go before everyone globally has safe access to clean water. But on World Water Day, I think it's also a day to reflect upon your privilege with access to water, global access to water, but also to be thankful for the work that everyone's doing towards safe access, and to kind of acknowledge and be grateful for all of those people that are working so hard on the daily. A reminder that World Water Day is March 22nd, and on this World Water Day, try to think about what water means to you and reflect upon that in your own life.
Thank you guys for listening. That's going to be our episode.